Well, thank you very much, Mr. Schultz, for having us up here to your home. We're in Sebastopol, and it's very, very sunshiny and a very gorgeous garden right outside these plate glass windows. And is this your office where you do all your work?
Yes, and I sometimes think that it is not the best thing to have too many things around to distract you. Sometimes I think maybe it would be better if I were sitting merely in a bare room, because it is all too easy merely to sit and look at all of the nice things outside. But it is pleasant, and I do enjoy it here very much.
Do you have a scheduled day, Mr. Schultz?
I try to get up here around 9 or 9:30 in the morning and usually work up until about 4:30 in the afternoon.
With a break?
Oh, now and then.
No.
And I do find it increasingly difficult to sit and work at the drawing board for any length of time. There was a period when I used to be able to work for several hours at a stretch, but now I find myself drawing for 5 or 10 minutes and then wheeling around in the chair, picking up a magazine and reading an article, and then drawing a little bit more, and then answering a letter or doing something like that. I don't know what this is a sign of, but this is what is happening to me.
I don't think it's very indicative. Certainly, the cartoons aren't waning in interest, and that's the main thing.
Now, every morning you pick up the paper and something is there. Sometimes I wonder if I'm ever going to pick up the morning paper and find it's blank.
How far ahead are you?
Well, the daily strip has to be drawn at least a month in advance, and your Sunday page has to be to the syndicate in New York at least 8 weeks in advance. Now, of course, you should be a little farther ahead of this schedule for your own benefit. Unfortunately, right now I am not. And the drawings which I mailed in to New York yesterday had to be there the very next day. I was that close to the deadline.
Mm, yeah. Mm-hmm. And this is for distribution throughout the whole world. Now, what countries? I know that it's printed in Australia because I'm Australian.
Yes, and I believe it runs in Turkey, it runs over in Hong Kong, in Sweden, actually in England,
translated.
France. In some countries and then in other countries not. It runs in, for instance, an English paper in Okinawa and also in Japan. And I believe Hong Kong naturally would be in English.
Yeah.
But I do not know. I just don't have a chance to keep
track of
it.
It would be awfully
this.
Difficult to translate good grief into Japanese, probably.
Yes, the idiom would be lost in so uh-huh. much of the translation.
There's no doubt that this happens. In fact, we received a complaint about a year ago from one of the newspapers in England that they were not able to understand many of the ideas. So I wrote to them and I asked them that if they could outline for me some of these things which they apparently do not understand, and perhaps I could correct it. But when the list was returned to me, it was so long that I discovered I would have to eliminate almost everything. They did not know about such things as Halloween, of course, uh-huh. baseball, they did not
yeah.
know. They did not know what groundhogs were. They did not know what stadium boots were. So I've discovered that it is best just to go on and draw what I think is funny and hope that everybody else thinks so too. The translation of the title, Peanuts, would be difficult because the title in itself in English is poor. I think it is probably the worst title ever applied to a comic strip.
I take no
blame for it, and if you like it, I take no credit for it. It was thought up by the people at the syndicate, and it has no relationship to the strip. The man who thought of it had not even seen the strip at the time he thought of the title. So you see, it's a poor title, so to translate something which is poor in the beginning, it must be extremely difficult. One thing never fails to puzzle me is that publishers and editors somehow seem to think that artists and writers are incapable of judging titles of their own work. They will give you the credit of having the ability of being able to create the work in the first place, but somehow they think you are unable to title this work. And they will listen to you with no respect whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. Has the syndicate existed right from the beginning of Peanuts? You didn't.
I did not begin with one particular paper, such as a few of the cartoonists have. I began by selling cartoons to the Saturday Evening Post on a freelance basis, and then from these, what they call gag cartoons, I developed the strip, and it started on a syndicate basis.
Which consists of. I don't really understand what it. how it operates.
Well, there are really two or three modes of cartooning. The two main branches are gag cartooning and strip cartooning or feature cartooning.
Mm-hmm.
Gag cartoonists usually work on a freelance basis and they submit to magazines, as I said, such as the Saturday Evening Post or the New Yorker or This Week magazine. We could go on quite a few. And these are usually one caption cartoons, sometimes no captions, but they're invariably sold on a freelance basis. Now, a feature, of course, is marketed by a syndicate and is usually distributed to newspapers. Now, in this form of cartooning, the cartoonist has a standard contract from 1 to 5 years and agrees to turn out a certain amount of work per year. And this is the main difference.
It's a great responsibility off your shoulders, anyhow.
Well, yes, the gag cartooning business is kind of unsafe. You're built up 1 week when they buy all of your cartoons, and then you're dashed to earth the next week when you receive nothing but rejection slips.
Yes. Were you doing cartoon work before Peanuts?
No, I was working for a correspondence art school in Minneapolis called Art Instruction Incorporated.
And then suddenly the idea was born.
No, not suddenly. As I said, I built up to it gradually. I sold cartoons to the local paper in St. Paul, Minnesota. And then, as I said, I had sold a few to the Saturday Evening Post.
Yeah.
It's one of these things that was built up gradually until I finally achieved a certain standard, a standard that was eventually accepted then by the syndicates. I had been rejected by many syndicates before
this. That's what I wanted to know, yes.
Did you have something in mind at all from the beginning that bears any resemblance to what it is now?
I wanted to do something which was very light. I wanted to do something which was subtle, of course. But I merely wanted to touch upon the briefest of incidents. This, I found, has been the secret with Peanuts, is touching only upon the briefest of incidents rather than trying to build up something too much until it becomes stilted. Now, it's probably difficult for me to explain this with words. If we were able to draw some pictures and I could illustrate it, I could do better, because obviously I am a man who's better equipped to put down his thoughts with pictures than with words, so it's difficult for me to explain this. But the incidents which first took place in Peanuts were the very briefest of incidents, like a little boy walking along the street holding an umbrella. And he is quite happy, and there's a little girl coming in the opposite direction, and she is saying, rain, 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 and it's pouring rain. The next picture, we see her walking along. She has the umbrella, and he no longer has it, and he is now walking along, and he is saying, rain, 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 rain. To talk about it is almost nothing, but it's just a very brief incident. And this was something which was not done too much in comic strips, and some of the men still fall into this trap of trying to build up a situation too much beforehand. And I've discovered that by cutting it down just to the barest of happenings, you can create the best humor.
Do you find it easier to work within the medium of the brief daily or the longer Sunday stretch?
I find that it doesn't matter as long as I don't have to switch back and forth. It is difficult to do 6 dailies and then do a Sunday and then do 6 dailies and then do a Sunday. I find it is best, although I'm not able to work in this manner, but it would be better to do maybe a dozen Sundays in a row and then concentrate strictly on dailies. It is difficult now and then to change the pattern of them, but I have found that the trap that I must not fall into in the Sunday is of, again, trying to build up too much of a story, but stick to a brief incident and use as a Sunday page an idea which is merely an idea which cannot quite be told in 4 panels. This makes a good Sunday page.
Do you have any preference for working with one over the other?
No, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Sunday you can maybe have a little more room for some violent action, but I'm not always able to come up with ideas like this, and I do not think that the violent ones are any more funnier than the simple ones, so it doesn't matter.
It seemed to me that possibly the Sunday strips leave more room for the verbal pyrotechnics that you sometimes go into, rather than the purely snap situational.
It could be. The only rule that is set down is that you are supposed to lean at least slightly toward something for children on your Sunday page, but I don't find many of the men doing this, and I don't think too much about it. I find that Snoopy works very well on the Sunday page. Snoopy has a large following as opposed to other members of the cast, and I find that some of his silly expressions and things like this work out very well for a Sunday page.
Do you find that you're less fluent with ideas now than originally? I imagine when you started, a whole flood of ideas came, and now you would be having to concentrate on them more because they'd be in... No, this doesn't...
I haven't changed a bit. I don't think ideas come any easier now or any harder now than they did in the beginning, because what I'm doing now is thinking of different kinds of ideas. My mind and my whole outlook is different from what it was in the beginning. Therefore, it's still the same person working.
One thing that I think that I have observed in your work is that your cartoons are not dependent on the what's commonly known as the gag so much as on a sort of distilled situation which has ramifications that sort of reach out from it, but which aren't heavily accentuated in the strip.
I'm very pleased that you're so observant, because this is what I hope for. No, I think a gag now and then, what we call just a straight gag, is all right. I'm a firm believer in a good change of pace in all of these things, and I think six daily strips should be, if possible, six completely different types of strips, other than when you're trying to tell a little bit of a story. But I think a good change of pace is necessary, but I don't think it is necessary to have a strict gag each time. Just the briefest of incidents, and always giving your readers credit for knowing more than you do. This is greatly necessary.
I would be interested in where some of your ideas, your stock characters, come from. For instance, the character of Lucy, I'm sure, has been talked about by practically every gathering of Bay Area intellectuals that has ever come together to discuss the concept of the castrating woman or what have you.
All her feminine wiles that aren't...
Are you dying?
He's talking to us. Would you like to come and visit?
No.
Oh, all right.
This is Jill that just came into the room here. She's 4 years old, and out of the five children we have, she is the one who is forced to stay home, but next year she goes to kindergarten.
Good for her.
Oh! I see.
Precocious family.
I think it'd be best first to go back and build up to Lucy, because Charlie Brown is still basically the main character. He, in my mind, represents the insecurity that most of us have, this longing to be liked, and the feeling which continually resides within us that nobody really likes us, this constant assurance that we need that people do like us. Now, this is Charlie Brown. He has other phases to his character. A slight trace of obnoxiousness in that sometimes he causes some of these things to happen to him. Snoopy is a recollection of a dog which I had as a boy, greatly exaggerated. Of course, all of these things are exaggerated and cartooned. This is what gives them value. Patty started out to be sort of the roughneck girl, but I discovered that this just didn't work out and nothing quite came of it. So she and Shermie are the straight people in the strip upon which some of the other characters work. Violet is supposed to be the pretty girl in the strip, but she also has this trace of meanness. Now, she and Patty are used when we want to have the mean girl situation happening with Charlie Brown. Basically, again, the strip revolves about the meanness of children one to another. Little kids can be very nasty to each other, and this is one of the foundations of the strip. Lucy came along when we were living in Colorado Springs, and I don't know where I got her name, it just sort of popped into my mind. It had nothing to do with the TV program or anything like that.
Which is,
and she started out as a very tiny little girl who talked in kind of a cute fashion and eventually developed into a wild little thing. And these personalities rarely stay the way they are initially intended. They have always changed. Linus came along directly afterwards. That was Jill going out of the room. Yeah. She didn't like
She's
what we
bored.
Were doing. So the characters frequently take upon personalities that were owned by some of the others. Actually, Linus right now has the personality which Charlie Brown had in the very beginning.
But you said that Lucy started out as the sweet little girl, but she hasn't. She's a vicious. She's a mean.
This changed
character.
Almost immediately.
Yes.
This changed within a matter of 3 or 4 weeks. I discovered it just didn't work out at all. Mm-hmm. Now, we run into Pigpen's personality here. Pigpen is useful to me only when it involves a little child playing in the mud or being dirty. Outside of that, he cannot be used because you see, mm-hmm. when you begin a cartoon, you must make certain that the first panel does not deceive the reader. And if Pigpen appears in the very first panel of a cartoon, the reader's mind is immediately tuned into an idea which is going to involve somebody's being dirty or dusty.
Yes.
And if this does not happen, then you have thrown up a block in front of the reader and you've distracted his mind and the idea won't go over quite as well as it should have. So this is why the cast of characters has to be complete and each character has to fulfill his certain role, and you must not misplace them within the ideas or they will be spoiled.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that profound?
I don't know whether we read more into Lucy as a profound character than you're prepared to expose, but she seems to embody all the female wiles that are probably obnoxious.
I don't think about it. I've heard that many times. I don't think about that quite as much as I think she embodies the dominating sister to the little brother, or it could happen in some families to the dominating brother to the little sister, although this doesn't quite happen. But comic strips have always been built upon the dominating female. And I guess almost all of our forms of humor in this country anyway. Because, you see, there's nothing funny about a male dominating a woman. There's nothing funny about a husband throwing a rolling pin and hitting his wife. But it is funny.
We may
wife...
come to that.
Yes.
No.
10 or 15 years. But it is funny if the wife, or at least it was in Maggie and Jig's day of humor, was funny. Because this was the reverse. And this is what makes it funny now, where... Lucy can dominate the boys.
But the interesting thing about Lucy is that the domination is psychic in some form.
Mm-hmm.
Either she psychs them out in some significant fashion, or she gains the ascendancy through sheer, blatant, unopposable ignorance.
Well, I think this is the modern aspect of it. You see, I'm still... Basically, the humor is what it was in Maggie and Jiggs' day, except it has been brought up to date where we now deal in psychological humor, whereas
yes.
he did not in his day.
Perhaps the most interesting character in the strip to many people, particularly quote-unquote sophisticated people, is Lucy, because this seems to be such a preoccupation of the 20th century American intellectual, this isolates a problem that they seem to feel to be that they are constantly faced with.
Well, I don't know very much about that. That's way beyond me.
Yeah, this is the point. It doesn't have significance if it's way beyond its creator.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm not trying to read this into your interpretation, but rather into the really incredible reaction to to a comic strip that's taking place among certain people who normally don't concern themselves with such things. You've reached down into their psyche someplace and flipped a switch. Which?
Happiness is seeing an intellectual laugh.
But you think children when you're writing. I know this is a trite question, which no doubt everyone asks.
No, I don't really. Not always. Perhaps I'm going to confuse you by all of the answers I give, because perhaps it is impossible to go into any medium which has to be done daily and come out with any consistent answers.
Yes.
You see, if a man were writing a novel, he would have years to siphon off various things and to chop and to repair and to build up and to pad until finally he achieved a perfect construction. But in the comic strip, you just keep going day by day, and you're allowed complete freedom. You can change personalities. You can push and pull and tug, and it doesn't matter. Nobody cares.
Well, this is what involuntary we all have to do to read it, because well, just as you said, a little sister, we were talking about Lucy, a little sister, you know, is the dominant one with her brothers and all. Well, now that's thinking children. But then when she comes up with so much sophistication, we've got to think adult, and the visual, just lose the visual aspect of it.
She can change her role in such situations as her relationship to Schroeder, as the confrontation of the artist with middle class values.
But don't you think this is the way it is? People are not consistent in their roles in life, are they? Or are they?
Oh, certainly. That's one of the charms of the whole thing, as far as I'm concerned.
Our personalities
aren't
consistent.
The strip and life as well, incidentally.
I'd rather be more consistent.
Yeah, Schroeder and Lucy are about the only ones who touch on any typical boy-girl relations. There's just...
Yes, I found these used in comic strips before. They have been used for a long time, and somehow they don't seem to me to be very effective. So I've just sort of shied away from them. I find the humor elsewhere, so I just don't need this sort of thing. There's just enough of it with Lucy and Schroeder, as long as I don't overdo it.
That's, yes. And Frida's going to confuse things because she's so beautiful and, you know, she loves herself.
Yeah, well, she won't be in very much. I think the basic cast of Charlie Brown, Lucy, Linus, Snoopy is enough. These are the four main ones right there. The others are necessary just now and then.
Well, you've got just about everything you need for practically any dramatic situation.
Sure.
Right there. Complete with more or less objective, non-communicating observer in the form of Snoopy, and it's always intrigued me, the completely separate life that he leads without any real communication with the other character.
Is he your favorite, John, Snoopy?
No, not really.
I can't choose a favorite.
I can't either, because the thing that I like about the strip is not the properties of any one character, but the quality of the interreactions and interrelations among them.
I'm glad to hear that.
Yes. Do you identify yourself with any of them?
Oh, if I identified with any, it would be Charlie Brown.
I just wanted to, yes. Uh-huh. It's a mean question.
Charlie Brown's in sad shape, you know.
Well, Linus needs a security blanket.
We've had, I think, three out of our five children had blankets.
Oh, really? In the same, more or less the same use?
Oh, yes. I heard a strange story not long ago about... I met some man who said that he had known somebody who had a little girl who had to clutch three pennies in her hand, and she could not go to sleep at night unless she had three pennies clutched in her hand. Oh. Now, you can read all sorts of things into this.
Well, we had a character in fiction not so long ago that was similarly preoccupied with two little steel balls.
Yes, I know it. But I think this girl, obviously, the first thing that comes to your mind is she's going to grow up and need to have lots of money, and you could build something around that.
I'm amazed at how people identify themselves with you. They will write you a letter, and merely because they like the strip and see something, they think then that you must be just the sort of person that they have in their mind. I know I went to Yale University to receive this award they gave me, and I must have disappointed several of those young men because they wanted to talk about such sophisticated and learned things, and there was one young man sitting next to me at lunch, and I didn't have any idea what he's talking about most of the time. But I think this is probably just the college years falling down upon him. He'll probably get over that.
But just talking about Peanuts, there are a lot of post-college people who are completely preoccupied with giving profundity to what Lucy or Charlie Brown have to worry them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't find it satisfying because it should be like a rinse of cold water, really, mm-hmm. rather than, do you understand what I mean? Sort of.
Yeah, I think the point is not that there are no significances in the strip or in the interactions of these people, but that the significance lies in the light, deft, incisive, immediate touch, and then forget about it. You've seen it. There it is. You've had your flash of recognition, whatever it is, but. For God's sake, don't go to work on it with a sledgehammer.
No. Maybe people like to identify themselves, and then because it's so simple, they think that they really want to have more depth. So they have to read it into characters. I don't know. I was just thinking how a movie would go.
Well, the people who have been doing the commercials on TV for us, and I have thought about making a movie quite often, but it involves a tremendous expense, and right now is a very poor time for movie cartoons because the theaters simply are not buying them. The theaters obviously are going in for these big production type films, and they don't need animated cartoons. Therefore, most of the companies have shut down. But it would be fun, I think, to make one, and it may happen someday. I think making one about a baseball game would be very fun, where you could have lots of wild actions going on. I've always been fond of the Sunday page where Linus walks up to bat, holding onto the bat and also a corner of his blanket, and when he swings at the ball, the blanket whips around him and gets all tangled up in the thing, and by the time he gets untangled, the ball is thrown in from outfield and they've tangled him out. Charlie Brown says, good grief, I can't stand it. You could do this very well in the animated form.
It wouldn't take a full-length movie, though.
Oh, not full-length, no. No, that would be fatal, I think.
But it would be fatal, but that's... You know, it's kind of what it brings to mind.
I always am reminded of the writer, the composer in the red shoes. Remember where he finally, when he was quitting, and he came up to the man who was head of the ballet company, and he said that there are some of us who do not think that writing for the ballet is the highest form of art, and this is the way I think a lot of we comic strip artists feel, that writing for animated films is not the highest form of art.
No.
Actually, drawing a comic strip to us is a higher form of art than animated cartoons.
Would it be fair to ask you at this point if you have any favorite cartoons that are going currently, with the understanding that those that you don't mention are not necessarily slighted?
You took the very words from my mouth.
I am constantly amazed at how good Gasoline Alley is. Every morning I read it in the Chronicle, and I realize that this man must now be at least in his 70s, and he has been drawing Gasoline Alley since I was a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And his career has spanned that of many cartoonists, and yet he seemingly gets better every day. He has been able to go along and cut through all of the various phases that cartooning has taken, the Superman phase, the adventure strip phases, the sophisticated phases, the wild phases which cartooning took just no more than a couple of years ago, where cartooning got so far out that editors no longer had any idea what they should purchase. And yet he continually goes on drawing real people in real situations, getting real humor out of it, and I think that this man is just doing a wonderful work, and I wrote him a note telling him so last week. Lucy gets a new baseball bat for her birthday, and she comes in, so they ask her, whose name is on it? Is it Mickey Mantle or Rod Ramirez? She looks at it, no, I guess it must be a girl's bat, she says, because it's got Rachel Carson's name. There's going to be many who won't understand it, but what's the difference? Those that do understand it will really like it, you see.
Yes. Do you wake up in the middle of the night with an inspiration? That shatters all. It's just purely systematic working right there.
And those slips of paper. Just drawing around hoping that something will come.
It's drawing around hoping something will come. Not thinking, then drawing.
Both. This is one way. This is the search for a pictorial humor, a funny picture.
Yes.
And the other is just sitting thinking to myself. I find that when you get into a rut where you can't think of anything any longer, this is the best way out, is to begin to go back to what cartooning really is, which is drawing funny pictures. Never get too far away from drawing funny pictures. It's too easy to get off into lots of conversation and sophisticated sayings and things, but you've got to remember that basically you have to give the public funny pictures.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Schultz, for having us up here and having coffee and cookies and a view and country atmosphere and a conversation. We'd be luckier.